Strictly Tech Show.
Hey, hey, hey. A little bit of a delay. We're going to kick off with our promo, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Yeah, something like that.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow? Or, just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net and let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel #TechShow. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, and we're kicking it off now. The 42nd or 3rd?
43rd
episode.
You're the odd one, so it's 43rd.
Of the Linux Link Tech Show. I'm Dan Washko. Across from me is Lincoln Fezzenden. And over there,
hitting
looking
the
at
corner,
Link's butt, is Alan Messler.
Lincoln, I didn't go. All right, well.
Hey, you know, I am the good-looking one, so.
From behind. All right. So we got a jam-packed show again tonight. There's just so much to talk about that let's let Alan talk about what he did this week. Because it's really exciting.
Didn't do a whole heck of a lot this week. Played around. I actually recorded a promo for us.
Yeah!
Which shocked everybody here.
Almost fell out of my chair, man. Alan speaks.
But I was playing around with Audacity, I think is how to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really neat audio app to play around with. You can record audio, you can modify what you've recorded, put some effects on it. A whole bunch of neat things, equalize it, echoes. I didn't use half of it, but at least I got something out there to play around with. Pass that.
Are you going to play it?
Do everybody want to hear it? Here it is. This is the thing that just about blew Dan and I out of the water this week, right here.
Frightening everyone. Hi, this is Alan from the Linux Link Tech Show, reminding you to listen to us live every Wednesday night at 9 by pointing your favorite audio tool to http://thelinuxlink.net:8000. You can also participate by pointing your IRC client to linuxlink.net and joining Pound Tech Show. That's every Wednesday night at 9, only on the linuxlink.net.
Linux Link Tech Show.
Now that's a darn admirable job, if I say so myself.
Not too bad for a first
excitement.
Shot.
Yeah, Alan, speak up, damn it.
Well, I did speak up. I actually had to turn it down a little bit because
No. Into your microphone.
Tonight.
I am.
Tonight.
Did you have his mic turned all the way down?
I turned it up.
You may have to turn me up a little bit because I'm not quite.
Turn him on, man.
Swallowing the mic like you guys do.
Oh.
Oh. Is this better for you? No, it wasn't too bad for first. It was actually pretty fun to do.
That's cool. So, like, you got the groove of it now, and you can just start cracking them off, right?
He likes to move it. He likes to move it.
What I figure I'd do is I'll put, like, a bass track and then grab, like, the pregame show here that we do.
There you go.
Dan's rapping to it or something.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Dan walking around barping, farting, and...
I was going to say, we could...
Barping, farting. Burping, farting, yeah.
We can do the tech show
and
raps.
Rapping. When he walks around singing whatever it is he, you know, sings and scratches his butt or whatever. Something like that.
But it's a neat app. Play around with it. It's fun to play with.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. I've been using it over the last week or so to take some old cassette tapes of mine and some other people, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's what originally got me started to do. I had installed it, like, files. Months ago on the laptop here and completely forgot about it.
Right.
And then when I saw your post on your blog about it, I was like, oh, geez. So I grabbed I'm an old deadhead from years gone by. So I grabbed the tape and played around and tried to, like, you know, mix them down to somewhat decent, seeing as I pulled, like, a tape from, like, 69. So it's pretty much nothing but tape noise to begin with.
Yeah, well, you got to really have to. You can play with it a little bit. You know what I found that works the best, and it sounds really weird. I guess it's because of the lossy codec. If you... yes, Dan. If you take your tape, you know, when you save it off the WAVE files, and it still sounds kind of crusty to you and stuff like that, you can actually clean it up a little bit by converting it into an OGG file.
Okay.
Like, I take the crusty WAVE file, convert it into an OGG at, like, the 7th best quality setting, and it seems to sound just a little bit better yet. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
well, I did a CD for you, Dan. Did it sound all right?
Sounded fantastic.
Come on, all right.
The only downside was that you had to rip it from that cassette tape. That's what, 12 years old?
Oh, it was
14
old, man.
Years old. Wait, actually, it's 2004. About 16 years old, almost.
That's old.
That's old.
Looks like a lot of my games are.
If you saw the player that I ripped it from, you
16 years old, and it's been sitting in my car for like 10 of those years, baking in the sun. It got eaten by a tape player once. That thing. I'm just glad that I was able to get that stuff put on CD because I cannot find it anymore. I'm not even sure they're around anymore.
It's cool.
And which band would this be?
The Serial Killers.
I know the name.
He knows the name, right?
They sound really like Ozzy-ish, I thought. That's what I thought anyway. It sounded okay. Really.
Maybe
after my years of being punk, that's why I was like wondering.
His years of being punk. You are still a punk, Alan.
Well, I am still one, but
I've done Google searches and everything. I cannot find them anywhere. They're on the cassette's laying downstairs.
So, like, you have the last known living repository.
I was gonna say, yeah, the last known living
public records. I think it's from or something like that.
Even the band members don't have a copy of their music.
They're gonna be calling Dan up now. Yeah, you have that album.
That's unfortunate.
Cut it right off for you.
I wish I could find them. But anyway, you know, in the messing around, I played it for a friend at work, and she found a really cool website, which is Crack Smoking T-Shirts. Have you ever been there? You got go to Crack Smoking T-Shirts. There's some funny
crack
shirts there.
Crack Smoking T-Shirts.
Funny stuff. That's I should probably put the link on the
probably, because the rest of us are never going to be able to.
Well, if you buffer back up to the top, you'd see it of today. Right before Alan jumped on for 2 minutes and then left.
I can't do that, man, because I record the logs over here. So.
Well, it works. So, you know, sometimes I just can't. You know, I jump on and then, like, the boss shows
excusing
up.
Excuses, right?
Yeah, crack smoking T-shirts. Are you there?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
No, I can't. That cannot be found. Please check the name and try again.
Oh, you know what? It's crack smoking shirts, I think. Not T-shirts. Yeah, that's it. Crack smoking shirts. My mistake.
Here you go, trying to confuse all our listeners. They're going to hit the IRC logs and go, you know what? It's not crack smoking T-shirts.
There you go. They got some. I love the He-Man shirts. It's Skeletor, Beast Man. You go over there, look at those. They are funny. They're all funny, but yeah. Beast Man says, Beast Man, what do you know about taking off your clothes? And it's got Skeletor looking. It's just so good.
I can't even get there. I'm still.
Yeah.
Hanging, waiting to get some kind of access up here because of Dan's wonderful airport that I can't connect to. Crack smoking airport is what it is.
Actually, neither one of us could connect to it until Dan actually connected.
Right, Dan's
first.
Got some weird kind of thing. Like, he's got to come up and connect to it with his laptop.
That's
before
security,
anybody
baby.
Else can.
That's, you know? Security.
Security, I guess so.
That, and then look at the serial killer T-shirts. The serial killer T-shirts are pretty funny, and the geek gear's all right. I mean, they're all funny.
I can't even get to the site, man.
Crack smoking shirt. I'm on it. CrackSmokingShirts.com.
I can't get to it. I'm still sitting here. No.
CrackSmoking.
I had it on there. It just never resolved.
Dun dun dun. Is it doing it now?
I'm trying. Here we go. I got a forwarding thing. There we go.
Yeah, you're in now.
With the little clown dude on him.
Yeah. It's, and some of the stories on there are
Gay
pretty funny,
pal,
too.
Yeah.
But,
oh, I'll have to look at this.
The skeleton.
Hey, crack smoking thongs.
I saw that at the same time.
You can't beat that. Hey, hon, guess what I'm bringing you home from the show? A crack-smoking thong.
And the ones under the Players Club, the first two, those are hilarious. These are the wrong, but they're hilarious.
They're wrong.
Under the Players Club. Yeah.
The Players Club. We probably, you know, we probably ought to get to some kind of Linux. Everybody says, well, you know. You have to talk more about Linux and open source. And
but you know what?
We are Linux
but
and open source.
If you actually look down at the geek gear, there is a
there's
shirt
a Linux
down
there
for MySQL, Apple, Linux, PHP, DSL, ANSI, Prawn. But there's nothing for Windows if you look at the HALA shirt.
Yeah, they got
there's a Linux reference there.
Yes, it does say Linux.
There's a Linux reference.
I see it.
I would probably safe to say that the people who design this site and work on this site probably aren't Windows users
to much
of an extent.
Probably not.
And they're also...
At least the ones that design the t-shirts, right?
So. Well, it's the website's PHP.
Oh, well, cool.
So you can tell right off the bat it's not running ASP.NET. Not the ASP, yeah. .ASP, .whatever. It's just a PHP.
Or any of that junk.
Yeah, any of that junk. Is it time for a public service announcement?
Sure. You want a public... Would you like public service announcement music? That's
sure.
The question. Okay, we can do public service announcement music for Dan.
Well, we have complained in the past about Coors. And what was our first public service announcement about?
Besides Microsoft?
Coors?
No, there was one the week before.
I don't know. I thought it was the Coors one was your first one, and then I made my little public service announcement about, you know, make sure you don't wait 8 years to get your eyes checked.
And I thought long and hard about what could I make a public service announcement about today. And I had a good idea over the weekend.
Except you forgot it.
But then I forgot it.
Yeah.
Which is good to say the public service announcement for this week is, if you got a good idea, either write it down,
put it down
in a palm, email it to yourself, write it on your blog, whatever. Because then you sit up here doing the show and you can't remember what your damn public service announcement was. Just like I couldn't remember what I was going to set the topic of the IRC to before I upgraded it.
Your public service announcement should be the punch them in the friggin' mouth one that you have on your website.
Punch him in the mouth.
The kiss of reality from Dan.
Punch him in the friggin' mouth.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that in a couple minutes. Punch him in the friggin' mouth.
That's coming up soon.
Make sure you read Dan's blog for that one. That was funny. All right. Is that the public service announcement?
I think that's actually on the Players Club. If you look, there's a shirt. Is it the shirt? Said, what did the five fingers say to the face?
There you go. That's perfect.
There you go.
Whack.
That's unless you guys have a public service announcement.
I know.
I had another one I thought of today, but now I can't remember it. We had a big public service.
I was thinking of something,
and
but
don't
I
use
forgot.
That piece of crap from Microsoft. Any piece of crap from Microsoft.
I'm older than
you
guys.
Speaking
so.
Of that, this I had talked to you guys about this on the IRC, but in InfoWorld on the July 19th.
The Longhorn thing, yeah.
They have a really interesting article on Longhorn. It's called The Long View on Longhorn. Now, I went to their site, InfoWorld, which is InfoWorld.com.
Listen to this, man. Dan excitedly checking out Longhorn. Ooh, when are they going to release it so I can put it on my computer?
Just worrying
we
about
have,
checking,
we get this,
excitedly
we get
checking
this at work
Longhorn.
Once a week, and, you know, I got to take, like, two craps a day at work, so I need something in the bathroom, and I just
except
take the
info
world.
Except for Wednesdays, of course, when you save it up so that you can spread it around
here. Yeah.
Anyway, InfoWorld, July 19th. I couldn't find the article on their website. Their website's a little confusing. It's not like you go over there and find the articles easily, but you might actually have to pay to get to the article, so it might not be worth it. But you can get the magazine for free. They're always sending out.
Yeah, I get those like five times a month, you know.
Yeah, but $199 deal for free. But I don't know anybody who pays for this.
No.
Anyway, there's an article on July 19th called "The Long View of Longhorn," and I was reading through it, and they were talking about the three big pillars of Longhorn: the Indigo interface, the Indigo network level layer. It's lack of better word, layer, but Indigo, the WinFS storage system, and Avalon. And it's interesting because apparently Indigo has a fairly decent connection in the standards.
Right.
So it's not that far off of standards and supporting standards and open
until
standards.
Until MS gets a hold of it.
Right. There is some proprietary stuff in there. Like they were talking about a messaging client that you can build. But, of course, you know, you can go with the standard or the Windows-only, you know, Longhorn-only, Windows-only, and open environment, they said. But that seems to be the only component that is conducive to an open standard. The WinFS storage system is MS SQL-based.
Right.
And they're talking about XML hooks, but they're not going to be as easy or as competent as their own proprietary hooks. So, you know, it's not going to be a seamless XML integration. So, and then they get to Avalon.
Well,
which,
you know, wouldn't anyway, because Microsoft, of course,
right,
bastardized XML.
Then you get to Avalon, and Avalon just totally thumbs its nose at cross platform compatibility, standards, and everything. And it's interesting, what caught my eye in this article and really skeeved me the most was this line. Microsoft is doing nothing to improve Internet Explorer support for DOM, CSS, SVG, or other standard ways to enrich the browser. And despite the fact that open source critics assert that XAML, which is Microsoft's extensible application markup language, or need not have been bound inextricably to the proprietary Avalon stack, Microsoft sees no possibility of and no real motivation for a standard-rich client technology.
Of course not.
Now, you got to think. Longhorn is still three, four years off. Okay?
It was 3 or 4 years off when they first thought about it, and it's still, three or four years off 3 or 4 years later. So
you got, you're going to have a 3 or 4 year gap where there's going to be relatively no updating to Internet Explorer, right? Aside from the monthly, which should be weekly or even daily, security patches. So you're not going to have an update to Internet Explorer. And then when you finally do get the update in Longhorn, it's still not going to support any of the standards.
Yes, but at this point in time, I see a lot of people that are actually pushing, and you know this, they're actually pushing switches to an open source browser like Mozilla or Firefox or something of the sort. Because, of course, you know, for here's the government's public service announcement, right, that the Department of Homeland Security here in the United States has actually come out and said that you should not use Internet Explorer. Right?
They should not use
Windows.
Microsoft. Isn't that Department of Homeland Security servers running on Microsoft?
No. I think they run Linux. Or BSD or something like that. I don't know. Check it out. But they did say that you should not use Internet Explorer and that they won't use it. And, you know, no matter what you think about, like, the current administration and the whole Department of Homeland Security thing that we have going on and all that business, the fact remains that even, you know, with those kind of opinions about the Department of Homeland Security, if they came out and said you should not use the software, you really should think about paying attention to that. You know what I mean?
People who don't know any better, so they don't use it.
Whether you like them and think that they're smart, or whether you think that they're absolutely stupid and they're saying this, you know, you really should pay attention to that.
It's really hard to say. I have heard that they use Windows, but you do a Netcraft, they're going through Akami Technologies, which is using Linux.
Now I thought they were using Linux or BSD and that they've been doing that for quite some time.
But it's hard to say because Akami does the host, you know, does that
hosting stuff and
for Microsoft and whatever, everything. So, you know, even Microsoft can't trust its own products out there in the open.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, it just goes to show.
But, you know, if they don't want to use it, and not to mention, like, all the other governments that are switching, I really would like is a list. Like, Dan and I went through this thing on our blogs.
Oh, actually, Microsoft is once again up on its own stuff.
Is it?
It's not behind the comic.
I mean, we went through this thing on our blogs of, like, all the reasons that Dan and I will not ever promote the use of Microsoft for any way, shape, or form anymore.
But not Alan. Alan bowed out of that.
Yeah, I know.
No, I didn't really bow out. You guys made such good points.
He didn't make a vague reference like, "Hey, check this out," you know, the four word blog post. But
I try.
what I really would like is a comprehensive list. Like you always see the news stories that go on along in time about this country and that country has switched to using open source. or Linux, and I never really kept like a running tally of which countries will not use Microsoft anymore. I really would like to see a comprehensive list of that.
Most of your Asian companies.
You know what I mean? Well, like, yeah, like the Asian country. Well, except for Japan.
Yeah,
a lot of the
Japanese
stuff is still running.
Yeah, but they're working on that China, Asian version of,
yeah,
of Linux.
China's,
as well,
China's doing Red Linux or something like that, right? That's yeah, what they want to develop and use for their government. What is it? Brazil, I think, and Germany switched a bunch of their stuff over. You know, that's the kind of list that I really want to see somewhere. So if someone can find that and let us know, that would be really cool. I'd like to have that information.
Wow. And I finally figured out what those right two hand buttons down and black box on the lower left-hand corner.
The two
right-hand
buttons
corner,
and black
those
box
two
and
arrows.
And what?
Because, like, you know, there's two arrows on the one side, which will scroll through your desktops.
Right.
On the other side, it'll scroll through your open applications on that screen.
Yes, it will.
Open window. I didn't know that.
Why didn't you just ask, man?
Because I didn't want to look like an idiot. I wanted to sound like an idiot after I found out.
Everybody knows you're an idiot.
And remember, just like Alan said, if anybody or the next time someone tells you the total cost of ownership for MS products is lower than Linux, just don't say anything. Just punch them right in the friggin' mouth and tell them that's the kiss of reality from Dan.
That's right.
It's bull crap. The cost of total.
Dude, I laughed like 10 minutes that last night. That was hysterical.
And before,
punch him right in the friggin' mouth, he says.
You know, I don't want to get into the crap at work yet, but, you know, I had a talk with my wife on the way down to the shore this weekend. We went down to the shore about, you know, she had read what I posted on my blog about Windows users being either two categories, clueless or idiots.
Right.
And she said that you probably don't want to run around calling Windows users idiots, because that's just going to turn them off to your cause. And she said most people are not aware that there's a viable alternative.
Okay, well, but wait right there.
No, because they're told, and they need to be shown, and they need to make it a viable alternative accessible. But what were you going to say?
But if they aren't aware of a viable alternative, does not that make them clueless? That would be
yes,
like the definition of clueless,
right? And
well,
she said that would probably be more productive for us instead of focusing on them being idiots. To educate them. And I want
to
go out there saying...
just focus on them being clueless, right?
There is... It's not... if you are a Microsoft user and you are clueless and you become a little informed, you are still a little clueless. I'll give you that buffer of cluelessness until that point where you know that there are other alternatives. And when someone says Apple or Linux or whatever, now you know. So now if you continue to use Microsoft products, you are an idiot until you switch. Now, of course...
See, I think it's the idiot syndrome all the way. Because even if you find someone who is generally clueless and you say, listen, there's something better out there. I use it all the time. It's great. What you'll find 9 out of 10 times is that person will still take that... They tighten their grip on the Microsoft box, and they're like looking for a way to run around you. You know what I mean? They're going to grab that damn Microsoft box and run like hell. My father-in-law does this, you know? He grabs onto that. I gotta have it! Ah! You know? And that's just... It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. Because, like... You know what I mean? If you walk up to a... if you're a non-technical person and you run computers and you walk up to a guy who makes his living working in IT, and he says the reason you're having problems is because you run that Microsoft crap and you should do something else, like, you know, run Linux, or, you know, if you're completely clueless, go get an Apple. And you say, no, I have to have the Microsoft. You're just asking for a hard time. You know, it's that whole argumentative thing. I don't know how they ingrain it into people.
Well, a lot of people are just used to putting up with the crap. You know, they're just used to dealing with it. And it's only till they get to a point where, you know, my friend who just switched over was the same way. I would talk to him about Linux till I was pretty much blue in the face, and his answer pretty much was, you know, screw you, I don't want to hear about it.
Yeah, but if you, if you're driving your car down the road and it breaks and you take it to a mechanic and the mechanic says, listen, you got to have a new engine, you don't look at the mechanic and say, no! I don't want a new engine.
I know a couple of people that
fix
do
it,
that.
You know? You don't do that. You know, most people, oh, okay, I got to have a new pieces for the engine. I got to have the new thing. Do the new thing, and then we'll go about our happy business. But if you're an IT person, you don't get that respect. You know? You say you're doing something
well, it's
wrong.
Because
we're
looked
really
at as
need,
geeks.
Yeah, you really
why.
Need. Yeah, but don't you think a geek would know what the hell they're talking about? Well, if
you
come to computers,
think so, but they don't look at it the same way. He only switched over when he finally got to the point of being fed up with having to like deal with downloading. You know, I forgot where I was going with this. Now my brain just went dead. Okay, when he finally got tired of dealing with having to deal with all the updates and everything else like that, he finally switched over and reading about every day, you know, he'd be reading about, you know, the different viruses that were coming out ready to attack his Windows machine just by being on the internet. And he was running all the safeguards and stuff, and he would still get hit on a regular basis.
Yep.
So I think people, though, get used to that. They have to be beat. They either have to get fed up on their own, Or maybe they are just idiots. I don't know.
It must be something like. I mean, that really frustrates me, though. You know, as a computer person, if I tell somebody like, you know, listen, you really should do something different, and they say, you don't know what you're talking about. I have to have my Windows. No, you don't. You know. I don't know.
Yeah. Just punch him in the face.
Just do a dance. Just punch him in the freaking head, man.
The part of the problem is, Alan, is when you go when Joe User says, I want a new computer, they go off down to Best Buy or Staples or open the Best Buy flyers or Staples flyer, and they go down there and say, I can get a Compaq or an HP. And the salesperson's there saying, and you... Not only do you get this HP, you get
XP.
Windows XP Home Edition with it.
Ooh.
And a free year of MSN. You know, they don't say...
Oh,
you don't,
people
you
love
don't
that.
Call Dell up, and Dell doesn't say, okay, would you like Linux, FreeBSD, or we can put you over to our Apple division. No, they don't say that. You don't even get asked. You get what? Do you want the Home Edition or Professional?
Yeah, that's the only...
Home
the
Edition
only
of what? SUSE? SUSE Personal? What's SUSE? SUSE? What's that? No. We're not selling musical instruments. You're not getting a SUSE phone.
How about just let me buy a damn computer without the freaking operating system?
Now you can't do that either.
You know? And that's the thing that pisses me off. You gotta... If you want someone on an operating system, you gotta go to a computer show and be able to speak Russian or Chinese in order to get...
Or at least
one.
Understand the accent.
Or just be able to point on the sheet that they give you, you know, that one.
And, and as a Linux user...
No,
and
I'm not picking on the Russian and the
and
Chinese
an occasional,
people,
you know, one
you
of the varieties of BSD users. I am offended that when someone says a PC, they automatically say Windows. Because when they say the newest round of viruses or worms are hitting PCs today, no, it's not PCs.
Right, it's not
it's
PCs.
It's Windows.
Specifically, and if they would say that, you know what I mean, then maybe it would make a dent in some people. Instead of saying, you know, everybody, you know, check your PCs and make sure you do your virus scans and all that stuff because we have a new virus going around. But what they don't tell you is, everybody, check your Windows computers and... Make sure you update your virus scans for Windows because there's a new Windows virus going around.
New virus hits the PC market today. I don't think so. Yeah, the only reason why it hits me is because I get the fallout from it.
True.
You know, the last week all of a sudden all these bounces and antivirus engines writing me saying that I'm sending infected emails and my machines are infected. All because of spoofed emails on somebody else's piece of crap.
Yep.
And you know what? If I was Google, I would be pissed. Because all I heard for the first couple of days was Google got hit by a virus.
Yeah,
Google
like
got hit by a worm.
Yesterday. Yeah. Like, yeah, they were brought down by a virus.
They were brought down by a worm. And it makes it sound like Google got hit.
Right.
No, Google didn't get hit. It was all those crappy Windows boxes that got hit and started... Because the new one sends out search,
yeah, doing a
email searches on Google.
Denial of service attack. It's
yeah,
exactly it what
it is. Essentially what it comes down to. And, you know, if I was Google or Yahoo, because Yahoo got it too, and Lycos, and just about
sue
all the
Microsoft.
Major stores, I'd be so pissed at Microsoft.
I'd sue Microsoft, you know.
I would put on my page, best viewed in a non-Microsoft
best viewed,
you
on
know,
everything
based
anything
system,
but
or not
everything
using
but IE.
Or why not do that? Why not do the reverse that Microsoft does and just block IE or something like that? You know,
that's right. Oh, you're not using Firefox, Mozilla, Opera, Safari,
just you
Netscape,
know,
or any of these
push
other
them
browsers.
Right over to a page so they can download Firefox.
Yeah, or you know what? You don't even have to push them over to page because somebody all they have to do is just write another one of those nice little viruses that automatically downloads it and installs it for you. Because, I mean, come on. What was it last month? You couldn't check your bank records or anything like that using Internet Explorer because somebody out there slipped in a nice little
browser helper.
Like, browser
know,
helper.
Russian site or something like that.
Yeah, that sends your information off to it. Oh, my God. And it's just the sad thing is I found that by luck about hearing about that. And I don't hear anybody else ever hearing this information. You know, I didn't hear that get publicized.
You know, there's probably a zillion people that are, you know, now having troubles with their bank account being a little bit too short.
It's obscene.
But
and then you have the people that dress up their windows with all this fancy mouse pointer crap and desktop enhancements that slow it down to a crawl.
Weather bug.
Which is what?
Weather bug.
Already is a crawl.
The application that's most single-handedly responsible for slowing down every desktop in the world is Weatherbug.
Weatherbug. Webshots desktop. Weatherbug.
And it also sucks like Weatherbug. It's like sucking information across across the WAN on 75 PCs, you know? Checking to make sure it's not raining in Kentucky or something, you know?
I used to like Weatherbug. But unfortunately,
but I bet your network administrators just love that, you know, especially if you and 30 other guys really love Weatherbug.
Well, yeah, there'd be it's hilarious because when I used to work night shift on it, you know, because all the PCs run all night long on it. Whenever the Weatherbug went off in mine, I'd walk through the building, and the rest of the building would be completely silent. On it, with the exception of you'd hear chirping everywhere.
The weather bug and all the...
weather bug would be going up on like 400 computers.
Oh, man. That's just bad and wrong. Hey, guys, let's...
Oh, yeah, you know, Ringy's just got a point. There's that calendar and the wallpaper changer. Where we work, it's... what is it? Desktop or Webshot screenshot or something like that? Webshot's desktop.
Yep.
Which changes it. And then another one is the atomic clock. Have you seen the atomic clock?
No, I haven't seen the atomic
clock
yet.
Which synchronizes your time with the atomic clock so that it's always. And it's, come on. NTP's been around how long now? You know, you don't need a fancy.
That's what I was going to say. I run
you don't need
NTP
a fancy
server.
Gator app to get the right time. Oh, it's used by Gator because they look at your machine and they say, oh, it's time for another piece of spyware.
Time for another unnecessary Windows.
That was hilarious
there.
Because on the machines they give us at work, if you get the lockdown version from IT, you can't change your time anyways. You have to call up IT and have them change your time for you.
You know, I actually...
And then they give it to you, and the calendar is set on Tijuana time. you get a machine from our IT department. I give them credit. You know, they've got a lot of things to do. There's a lot of computers to deal with.
That's a really good idea. I need to do that at work.
The default Office application comes over set to West Coast time. But if you look at it, it says Tijuana time. And that's independent of what you set your machine at.
It's just
everybody's going... Why are my appointments 5 hours off? Gee, you're on Tijuana time.
Now, you know, at work, it used to be that Novell Zenworks when the time would change,
right?
And or daylight savings time, and you boot up Windows and it would say your clock changed, and you'd hit OK. It would crash the machine. Hit OK. It was like, oh man, come on.
I had it set for the longest time at work. I locked down there. They run NT4 on a lot of workstations. I locked them down really tight, and they couldn't change the time. And, I don't know what it is about the users there, but they will not come and get me. or something like that. They try to do every workaround in the book, you know, to try and work around this before someone will actually come and say,
Could you set the time on my computer?
And, like, by the time, like, and I didn't have it setting the time automatically off. I have it setting the time automatically off of a Samba server. But it wasn't setting the time before. And like, the drift was, the drift was unbelievable, man. Like, one machine, you'd sit down at 2 o'clock. The next machine over would be, like, the following Sunday it would be set, you know. And you move over another machine, and it's 3 hours off of the first one. And you know, it was really bad. And nobody, and this is, like, 30 machines, man. And do you think one of them would come and tell me?
No.
Now I have
because you're the scary IT guy. That's
it must be, you know. They'll come and get me for the dumbest crap, but, like, something legitimate, like, gee, our database is messed up because it doesn't have the right time. They won't come for me for that, you know. No. They'll come and get me if they want to, like, change the screensaver or, you know. The most famous thing that I get, and I swear to you, I get this at least twice a week, someone will come and get me and pull me out of my office from programming. They'll pull me off of programming to come out on the floor because somebody has their brightness on their monitor adjusted too low.
Oh, God.
You know, do you know how, and you would think that when I go out there and push the damn button to brighten up the monitor, that person would feel like a quarter of an inch tall.
But they don't.
They have, like, it just goes right past them. Shoo, you know, like, it doesn't faze them at all. I would feel really, really stupid if someone came over to me and if I had to make a call to somebody to come over to push the bright button on my monitor.
Now, before you had it set to the set time to Samba server, when daylight savings time came around, would it adjust the clock automatically, or would they get that?
No, they got
that thing, and then they couldn't really. Did they get that every time they log in?
They got the thing where it said you're off, and they click OK if it was all right. But then they clicked OK, and it wouldn't adjust the time. It left it. It wouldn't.
But they get that every time they logged in,
they would get it. Yep.
We had that problem,
but that happened for like a week before they decided that they would actually, you know, do it.
We have that problem at work because of Windows eating itself repeatedly and trying to prevent people from screwing up the systems. Uh-huh. We have that wonderful go-back application installed, and every time, twice a year, daylight savings time comes around, you have to visit every stinking machine, turn go-back off, make sure the time gets set, turn it back on,
right,
reboot it, and wait 10 sometimes 10 minutes to an hour and a half for it to reinitialize. It's a nightmare. You have to go around and visit like 500 computers just to set the time. If you have to do that, there is a problem with your damn operating system.
What I did to fix all that was I set up two Stratum 2 NTP time servers that I pull, you know, I synchronize off Stratum 1 servers on the military, and I pushed that time out through. I pushed that time out through NTP on the Linux boxes, and I to Samba. When you use Samba, you can use Samba to set the time on Windows boxes too when they log into it, which is really cool. And I do that all the time now, and it seems to work really good. What I need to do is dig around a little bit and find a way to put NTP on a Novell 3.11. server, so I can sync that up, because that, you know, Novell is like the biggest pain in the butt to set the time on.
I crashed a Novell server once setting the time on.
Setting the time?
Yeah, I abandoned it. But I set the time. It's been a while since I abandoned it setting the time. That was a couple years ago.
It's been a while since you set the time on it then, right?
No, I was setting the time the other day.
But, you know, in Novell's defense, I do have to say that NetWare is pretty cool because, like I said, I run a NetWare 3.11 server. I've been running it for 8 years. It still runs, man. So that's pretty cool. And haven't had any, you know, major problems other than, like, you know, the motherboard fried on it and crap like that. But that's not really any fault of the operating system and just keeps plugging right away.
You know, what was interesting is, I don't want to go into any more detail of this yet, but our, I was going to say, God damn it. Why is this screwing
ooh,
up?
Ooh, you said a bad
sorry.
Thing. I'm going to smack him.
I was going to, I'm sorry. We have a Windows 2000
Dan's
running our Citrix server. And I'll tell you what, that thing's been running for almost a year now without much of a problem.
Now, just for, because I had someone ask me today, so why don't you explain to everybody what exactly a Citrix server is?
Citrix provides like an enhanced remote access through their, they have a proprietary client. The client runs on just about every operating system. Citrix only runs on Windows. And what it allows you to do is get a Windows desktop, basically off the Windows server.
It's a so remote can, Windows desktop.
Yeah, kind of like that, but it's a little more enhanced. It's got proprietary compression components, and it's pretty speedy. So you can install the apps on Citrix, and you run them off. You know, it's client server. It's like a thin client technology. Essentially, that's what it is. Well, anyway, our Citrix server has been running pretty well. And I guess when you come to think of it, the only person who ever uses it is me, to an extent. And that's when I have to go do some stuff that I can't do in Apple, NetWare, or Linux. I have to go and drop into Windows. So I go onto the Citrix server. I do it for testing, too. But all of a sudden, just the other day, it just... I couldn't log in right. I couldn't log out right. I couldn't launch some applications. All of a sudden, it just stopped working right. It was getting all borky, all hokey. And guess what happened?
What happened?
Somebody set up a Windows 2003 server to run the Ghostcast off of it. The Norton's GoCast. And just by setting this thing up and installing it, horked up the Citrix box. I don't know why. It just horked it up. They installed it as soon as that came. Shut the 2003 server down. Citrix works perfectly.
So there you go. Install Windows today, folks.
And screw everything up.
Yeah. It's sad when their own products don't even work well with one another. They interfere to such an extent that it's I don't know what they were actually setting up on this thing, but it's just pissing me off. But I don't want to go into too much of work because I got a whole bunch more I can complain about in a few minutes. But go ahead, Link. Do we need to take a break?
I was going to say we could take a break and listen to a song. But, you know, we're at this point 10 minutes from the end of the show anyway. So if we do a song, then we're only going to have like 2 minutes to talk.
Okay.
And I know that you're just dying to talk about your, you know.
Oh, it was a lot of fun going on this week at work. It was. We had some issues with the. Was it this week with up? We moved our Novell servers over to new hardware, and that's always a little sticky wicket there, because you have to do some
sticky wicket.
You have to do some funky things. It's not just simple. It's not just a simple, you know, cut and dry. That's it. You know, move it over new hardware because you got to set up a new machine. You got to run the deployment manager or whatever, and it copies over the information. You got to go through and edit all the configuration files so that the new server has all the old server's config files. Well, anyway, that was one aspect. But what was most troubling of all was yesterday. When I was working out with one of my co-workers at work, he had said to me, "You got my email, right?" And I was like, "Email?" I played it off like, "Yeah, I got it." So he's like, "Well, okay, we're going to be okay this morning for the training." And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "You guys got all the computers ready to go?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And I'm thinking in my head, I know what he was talking about. But because of the server upgrades last week, we had forgotten that we needed to set up a mini lab up in our other building. And so we went in, as soon as I was done working out, I had like two hours before this thing was going to go. 3 hours, actually. We got finished around 7. About 2.5 hours. So we came up with a plan that we'll just drag up some of the workstations out of the lab. Now, there was 8 machines that we needed to take up, and supposedly all of them were updated, patched, and everything.
Uh-huh.
But lo and behold, we turned these things on. They're infected with the 4-bot B worm. It's like, how did this get on there? I mean, the antivirus was updating itself. The latest Windows patches were supposedly on. But what I think had happened was there was that period when our antivirus mysteriously stopped updating,
right,
unbeknownst to everybody. So I think the worm slipped on in there. And now that it's been all fixed, it updates and catches the worm. But it's really distressing because the actual IDE files for the virus that in question came out this past week.
Uh-huh.
And the virus is, the worm has been going since April. It's so imagine, if you will, having the
so it's been, you know, 4 months it's been running around on your network or what?
I don't know. Having to clean
that really sucks,
8 machines in a 2-hour period, make sure they're clean to get them set up to run this demonstration that they wanted to do. But even more to the fact, they had another training going on today which required an entire lab. The one lab that they wanted to start working on was infested with so much spyware. It was incredible. Some of these machines, as soon as you turn them on, you couldn't even do anything. That search bar came up, stuff started popping up on the screen. It was horrible. You couldn't update it. You couldn't remove it. It just became unusable.
Sounds like my father-in-law's computer.
We just had a guy at work in my department that had the same thing. He's the AutoCAD guy on it, and he calls me over. He's got, you know, that search bar, the search thing from Windows that won't go away.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, you've been infested. So they calls up IT. They swap out a box. He has it 4 hours. He gets the same damn thing again.
Well, you know, but you can't get around that crap, because
no,
if you run like IE automatically, you know, just arbitrarily decides that it's going to download and run shit from websites. So if they have, you know, they have the viruses out there in webs, you just hit the website and it starts, you know, sending infected crap to your computer. You can't get around. Plus the fact you have Outhouse Express.
Outhouse Express for
email, and which arbitrarily executes any code from any known computer language, right? You just send it to Outhouse, and Outhouse will run it on your computer for you without even asking. So you get, you know, you get viruses. Hell, it doesn't even have to be a computer language. It could be a freaking macro. Outhouse will run it, you know? And so it's really, I mean, it's really not difficult at all to get infected. And I keep hearing, I wish I could remember the source, but I heard from some, I can't remember the source, some trusted source that that generally speaking, a computer connected to the internet is infected within 2 hours.
That's probably about right.
Of being connected to the internet, you know, gets a virus.
My box at work, some PCI card, which, you know, is for me is brand new.
Uh-huh.
I've only had it 2 weeks on it. I ran Adware on there. I've never fired up IE on this at all, and I had spyware on there. I was like, okay, and, you know, I was like, gee, all it's ever done is Windows update itself. So it's got to be something that just shows up with
you run Outhouse on it though, right?
Outhouse.
Yeah, it runs Outhouse.
There you go.
Don't get much of a choice there, because it's my company's email. So.
And there you have. Well, I thought you said that the evolution was you could do that. Oh, you're still waiting for them to do that.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not high enough on the pecking order to be able to do that, so.
I don't know, man. You know, bring some, like...
It took me 3 weeks to get these guys in to install 2 programs for
right,
me.
But these are IT people, all right? Now, you were an IT person, an on-the-sly kind of IT person, so
yeah,
you know how we all work. So here's what you do. You want them to install it and get it running. You must bribe you. And this is, for the rest of you who are listening and don't know this, you can bribe an IT person, okay? It's really, really easy. We like... If we're smokers, we like cigars, and we like pizza and caffeinated beverages. So if you were to walk in with a really tasty caffeinated beverage and hand it over and say, I really would like you to stop by and fix something for me real quick. Generally speaking, that gets our attention, you know. You glean some favor in our eye, and you move from a loser to a user. You know?
Well, I'm trying to get like the cute one to come over and install stuff.
Oh, there's a cute one.
Yeah, but
what's his name?
All she does is answer the phone, though.
All she does is answer the phone. Well, there you go. Like, you know, Brian,
yeah, see,
is she a geeky kind of chick? You know, you can bribe her off with some caffeine.
See, the problem where I am in being in
chocolate
CAD
or something.
Is we're like the outcasts on it, because none of our machines officially exists. Because they get set up by we have our own system in,
right,
for the Unix stuff on there, and because the Sun PCI cards are technically Unix boxes. We don't officially exist in the company. We get by under the radar for a lot of things.
So you got to get the Unix IT guy.
Well, yeah. Whenever we have a problem, I have to go through him first, and then if he decides it's really a Windows problem, then I got to call up the Windows people. And installing programs falls under the Windows people. But
telling you, dude, man, bring him food and caffeine.
Well, the other part they go real tough with us is my machine goes off at 3 or 4 o'clock every afternoon.
Right.
Which they can't stand, because they want their Windows boxes running all night long so they can update them at night.
So that outhouse can get its updates, yeah.
Well, no, it will finally get its updates during the day when it's on. But if you want them to install a program, they usually do it. You know, they usually set it to come on and do it at night when you're not there. Because I keep writing to them, you have to come to see me to do this. you can't log into my machine unless I'm there, and it goes off at 3 o'clock every afternoon. So they put me to the bottom of the list all the time.
Yeah, well, like I said, keep that in mind. Tomorrow morning when you go in, stop off, you know, at the little coffee shop, bring him a nice, caffeinated beverage.
Reminding everyone, the end of the month, the 30th, is System Administrator Appreciation Day.
You know what? That rolls around every year, and I have never, ever, one time have I ever had anybody mention anything to me on that day. You know that?
Well,
but like Secretary's Day, they're like throwing shit and burying the secretary, you know, flowers and candy and little awards and shit like that. But the guy who keeps their computer running, you're lucky if they leave you alone that day. Yeah, it's like there's System Administrator's Day, your favorite techie guru day is at the end of the month.
Every month?
No.
It's the last Friday of July all the time.
It's just, just July.
Wow. You know what? Why don't we talk about some open source stuff? Why don't you talk about I will piggyback off of that.
I wanted to mention, and I know that we have already run out of time, but I wanted to mention
this
today.
We have all the time we need.
Yeah, but then my wife gets on me because, you stay at a dance house until midnight. She thinks I'm having, you know, smooching you or something. I don't know.
Well, that goes with that.
That goes without saying. But no, what I wanted to mention is, like, couple weeks ago when I said that I upgraded using Soiret, I upgraded to Slackware 10 from Slackware 9.1. And that's the only Slackware 10 that I've used. And that went really, really easy. Today I decided that my laptop really needed to get upgraded. And since I had yet to do a clean Slackware install off of this, you know, the Slackware install CDs, I decided that would be the method of choice. So that's what I did. That's what I did today. Only took me like, you know, grand total of actual time paying attention, maybe 20 minutes. Really, really smooth install. This is what I don't understand. A lot of people that run different kinds of Linux, they all want like the graphical GUI installers and stuff like that. And, ooh, you can't do like Slackware or Debian or any of those, or Gentoo, because they don't have the graphical install, and that's scary. But I'm telling you, they're like 5 menu items, right, to install Slackware, and that's it. This is not a difficult thing, man. The little thing comes on, it says, do you want to install Slackware? Yeah. Okay, do you want to partition your drive? Yeah, partition your drive. You know, this is not a difficult thing. Everything goes right in line and real fast and smooth. And the only problem I had with my Slackware install, and this one even went better than the last install that I did, 9.0. Only problem I had whatsoever was after everything booted up, I could not get my sound working. Some kind of thing with, because Slackware 10 uses also by default, and my last version of Slackware on the laptop was Slackware 9, which uses OSS, also does not work with my particular laptop's sound card. Now, the same sound setup on other laptops work fine, but on this one, does not go. What happens is, like, it'll look like it's working, but no sound is coming out. And if you go to access, like, also mixer or something like that, it just locks up, you know, and it's done. You have to power cycle the laptop. But anyway, like I said, the only problem I had was also, and the really easy fix for that was I just went in after the install and I removed the also packages. Remove package also, asterisk. Pulled them right out. The very next reboot, hot plug, which is a really cool thing they have going on in Slackware now. Hot plug took over, found my OSS, or found my sound card, and loaded up the OSS drivers for it. Was a piece of cake, and it's up and running, and I think it runs a lot smoother now. Smoother than it did for Slack 9. I'm impressed.
I did a Slack install today, too.
Did you really?
A Slackware 9 install, 9.1, because I didn't have 10.
Didn't have the 10 disks.
Right. And one of the nice things about upgrading the server hardware is there's some old server hardware to laying around, and I wanted to get a beefier system. Not necessarily beefier. I need more hard disk space, because there's a programming class that's going to be doing Java, so I wanted to connect to a Linux server. I wanted to have a lot more home drive space. I had under, like, a gig available, but I wanted to give them more space, so I set up a new Slack server off of a Dell, and it was actually the first time I ever installed Slackware on a SCSI-based hard drive machine.
Uh-huh.
Smooth as a baby. Load up that SCSI kernel and get going. Simple. And you know what? I actually screwed up on my partitioning. I was halfway through the setup.
Say it isn't so, Dan.
I set up my partitions the way goodness. I wanted to, but I was going to add a second swap
uh-huh.
on the second hard drive. And I accidentally set it for a Linux file system.
Uh-huh.
And when I went in to set up the mount points, I mistakenly put that as a spare data partition. And then I was like, oh, shit. So I just canceled that out
of
setup.
Man.
Yeah, I canceled that out of setup, did the F disk again, changed it to a swap partition, reran that part of the setup, and it was fine. I didn't have to reboot, didn't have to do anything.
Do the swap on thing, and off it goes, right?
That just went right on along.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
And it was so simple. And you got to think, in the time I was doing a whole lot of other stuff, I spent about 5 to 10 minutes at that console answering some stuff, because I always do a customized install where I say which packages I want.
Right.
So I, including that, it took me about 10 minutes of time sitting there in front of it, 15 to 20 minutes total to install. And in less than a half an hour, I'd say, I had a fully running Slack machine ready to go. And I didn't have to pay much attention to the installation. Now, on the other hand, last week, one of our interns was installing Windows XP Professional on a brand new Dell system. Probably, I won't say brand new, it was less than a year old. Took him 4 hours to install XP. And most of that time was formatting the partition, formatting
really?
The hard drive for NTFS.
What about finding the drivers? See, now that's the thing that takes me.
Most of the time,
that's
you have to find all the drivers.
That's the thing that
takes
me all. Like, I can do a bare Windows install in 45 to 60 minutes. But the problem is, like, after you're done with the last piece of the install and it reboots and starts asking for the damn driver disk, which nobody ever has, by the way, then you got to go digging around for 19 hours trying to find some, you know, cryptic video card thing that, you know, the driver you have to sign up on a site for and pay your firstborn child or something to get it. That's the thing that really pisses me off. And then everybody says, you know, oh, Windows is so much easier to install than Linux. Yeah, but it takes you 14 years to find the drivers for it.
Drivers. I hated that. You know what's worse? When you have a piece of hardware that you don't know, because the manufacturers don't always
put their
name on it.
You don't know what the hell it is.
Well, it's some kind of sound card, but I don't know what the chipset is.
You're looking at the chipset. It's like Google.
Do an FCC.
I do that too. Yeah.
The FCC ID number FCC and ID stuff numbers. Like. Another thing that was awful, particularly awful, was modems. Modems were because you can look at it and it can say a Lucent modem, but you don't know who.
Chipsets within a Lucent modem.
You get that Lucent chipset and you're looking it up. It could be 17 different modems, and they never like take the time during the silk screening process to write the damn manufacturer down or something like that.
That costs more money for silk
what's
screening.
What's even worse?
Oh, yeah, another penny, right?
What's even worse in the Windows environment is when you have that unknown device in the control panel, and you're like. What could it be? It's an unknown device. What is it?
I don't know what it is either. I like when you have an unknown PCI device. And like you have two PCI devices in the computer. You have a sound card and a NIC.
But there's one is unknown.
No, and you have drivers for both of those and they're both working, but there's a third unknown PCI device, which doesn't exist anywhere on the system. Like, where the hell are they getting the PCI? It's not plugged in there anywhere, you know?
What has always been a blessing, I thought, on Linux is when you go into the, you could do a LSPCI or you go into the PROC PCI or devices, you can actually extract all that information of what you need to get the right module.
Well, that's
what's my video card? I don't know.
Now, let me ask you this. When you have to fix somebody's Windows computer and you don't know what's in the box, do you whip out, like, an OpEx disk and slap it in? And
I have done that.
I do that all the time. That's the absolute salvation now. Slap an OpEx disk in. You watch the D message scroll by. And you're like, oh, okay, it's a AC97 sound card. And, you know, it's... And then, you know, you get logged in and you do a LSPCI and LSMod. You find out what modules are loaded on, what the PROC info says about the PCI hardware in there. It's beautiful, man. That saves you, like, hours ripping through doing the whole thing, ripping the case off the computer. Like, you take the cases off and half the computers and you can't get them back on right.
Yeah,
like Dan's computer over here.
I got sick of putting it back on, so I just I hate the older cases where they have those little hooks that come out on. You got to get it all positioned just right.
You got to wrap your arms around it, sort of slide it back.
You know, the worst part is like as soon as you take one of those cases off, they spring a little bit.
Yes,
so that they never go back on tight exactly right again. You know, first time you take them off,
you turn them over upside down. And then you slam them, and that's the way to get them
to work. No, what you do is you get out the Dremel tool, and you just cut the top off, and you can stick the sides on real nice and tight.
Duct tape.
Duct tape is cool, man. You gotta
But then, that. You know, the flip side is a lot of the like Dells that we get in have these wonderful cases that you could just pop up, and everything's just like the old Apples, a little clip that you move, and... But then you can't add anything to it.
Nothing fits in there because they have the sideways PCI riser on them and crap like
and
that.
And you can't, like, add stuff to it unless you buy it through Dell because it's just not the right size. Speaking of adding things, how did that sound card work for you?
I didn't get it in there yet because...
Get it into which one?
Either one of them.
What are you waiting for?
Christmas.
You were hot to get these things, man. I drove all the way out there through all that crappy traffic.
I was going
to
put it right into Macintosh, too.
The accidents all over the place, just so you could have your sound card yesterday.
I was going to put one right into Macintosh, too, but it took me all freaking night to figure out that, for some reason, Yellow Dog doesn't include any freaking sound modules. Like, in order for me to get the sound card running on Yellow Dog, if it works, quote-unquote, if it works, I need to get all the sources on there and figure out how to compile the freaking sound modules or what sound module will take and then get that sound module on it, which is a pain in the butt, man. So, I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. with that. And the other one, it's just, you know, I'm too damn late because I was on the computer looking for stuff, so I just didn't want to pull it all apart and put a new sound card in. Plus, I have to look on the motherboard for that and try and figure out how to disable the onboard sound, which is going to be a pain in the ass, too. So.
See, I don't know. I'm wondering if you could actually use that because it's a different architecture.
But it's PCI is the architecture. It's a PCI sound card. Now, PCI is PCI no matter where it is. PCI is the same in a, you know, in an octane, an SGI octane as it is in a Macintosh as it is in a PC junk computer. So that should be our card. It's just a case of knowing how to drive the card. And Linux knows how to drive the card, so it should be all right. But unfortunately, I need to have a module to be able to do that. And for some reason, Yellow Dog has decided that the only module they want to include with sound on their kernel is the DMA sound, which is controlled by Apple, and that's the one that doesn't work for crap.
So. See, I ran into module problems with Yellow Dog, and that's why I went to Gen 2.
So now, how difficult is it to, you just, well, you did the stage one install, right, where you had to compile every day.
Right, and build my own kernel and everything.
I would like to know, since you're the Gen 2 on PPC guru now, I would like to know what your opinions are of what the, of whether I could do like a stage 3 install and what kind of pain in the yang it would be to get the module working on that. Think about it. Give us some thought. Maybe we'll have something fun to report next time on Gen 2 PPC running sound goodies. But we really should get going over here because almost quarter after.
You think?
And yeah, I do think. And we're going to keep talking and no one will download the show because it's too damn long. Oh, speaking of another public service announcement. Slug Radio should have another show out very, very soon. Another
episode. I thought they were done for the summer.
No. That's Lug Radio, which is the second announcement.
Oh, yeah, Slug Radio.
Lug Radio has decided to take the summer off and will not be producing any new shows until September. So, they're still active on their forums over there and stuff like that. So go over there and check them out and make sure you keep in touch on your forums and make sure you keep telling them that, come September, they really do need to start back up again and start doing their radio show. And in the interim, you know, the old steady guys
There's
over
us.
Here, we're still plugging along one a week, rolling up really, really fast on our one-year anniversary, fellas. We'll not
Tiki
be long
bar,
now. Some kind of thing. You know, maybe we just have to, you know, take the night off, take Thursday off the night of the show, and we'll all just sit over here on the show and just get stinky drunk or something until Dan wets himself. I don't know. Something like that. But anyway, that's rolling up pretty soon. That's going to be episode 50 for us, which is a whole lot of episodes. And so, yeah. Make sure you keep on listening to us. Keep hanging out over at lugradio.org's forums and our forums. And make sure you tell Slug Radio to keep pumping the episodes out, too. And we will catch you
next week for episode 44.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Next week, 44.
Are we allowed to say that?
Sure.
Oh.
Hey, it's in syndication. Who cares, right? Yeah.
Syndication.
We're not making any money off of this.
Not yet.
When we won't say it.
When somebody starts deciding to pay us like $95 a T-shirt or a bumper sticker for, right?
That's it.
Something like that. All right.
Get your fists ready for this week.
Fists ready.
Yeah, when someone says...
Oh, yeah, for the punch. The quote.
Now, we don't advocate any violence around here, but...
The hell with you, Alan. Of course we advocate violence.
Unless they say run Microsoft, and then you are to punch them in the friggin' mouth, as Dan says.
Run as fast as you can, right up to them. Pop!
Whap! Just buffalo.
Because what did the five fingers say to the ignorant face,
That's
huh?
That's right. Whack.
What? The idiot's face.
All right, folks.
Thank you for listening.
That's right. I'm Link.
I'm Alan.
I'm Dan.
Good night.
Good night. Ha 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 ha
Pulling a Flink Tech Show. Pulling a Flink Tech Show.